This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to A Positive Outlook, an audio journal production highlighting optimistic news stories. Material is selected with the interests of its audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is Ava Sardina, and I am your volunteer reader. The following articles are from goodnewsnetwork.org. $6,500 volunteers build 10,000 beds in 24 hours for kids who don't have their own. By Good News Network. 6,500 volunteers worked around the clock to build over 10,000 beds in just 24 hours for kids who don't have their own. Inside the Charlotte Convention Center in North Carolina, Lowe's store employees rolled up their sleeves alongside thousands of others to reach the big goal, all in support of the charity Sleep in Heavenly Peace. By the end of her shift, Jenna Restrepo lost count of the boards that she sanded, hauled, or stamped, but it wasn't the numbers that stayed with her. "I'm thinking about my own kids," said the product manager at Lowe's. "I'm so fortunate to put them in their own beds. I hope that every child feels as safe and comfortable as mine." More than 140,000 children across the United States are currently waiting for a bed, according to Sleep in Heavenly Peace, which is why partners like Bank of America, Honeywell, Rebuilding Together, and the Charlotte Hornets NBA basketball organization all came together 3 days ago. It took teamwork and coordination, on a scale that most volunteer projects never reach, to turn 200 miles worth of raw lumber into 10,027 beds, using 2,000 gallons of stain, over 730,000 wood screws, and nearly 18,000 sanding discs. Rolls were doled out in 16 lines, with hundreds of people moved in sync, cutting, sanding, assembling, finishing, each step building on the last. By the end, all those hands and hours added up to something huge. When the noise of the tools stopped, thousands of finished beds were stacked and ready to head out to families across 36 states through the 110 chapters of Sleep in Heavenly Peace. For Lowe's associates, it was a chance to step out of their usual routines and be part of something important. Without consistent quality sleep, kids fall behind in ways that affect their health and learning, said Dr. Douglas Kirsch, a medical director of sleep medicine at Atrium Health. "What matters most is simple, a place to sleep and all the possibilities that come with it." Woman braves frigid water to rescue seagull trapped and hooked by fishing line. By Good News Network. A woman was dubbed a heroine after she rescued an injured seagull that was stuck in fishing line for more than 5 hours near the Irish Sea. Lorraine Buller swam out 50 feet in frigid Stanley Park Lake in Blackpool, Lancashire, to save the injured gull whose leg was trapped in fishing tackle. The exhausted animal was spotted by wildlife rescue volunteer Stuart Beaton, who noticed that the gull hadn't moved for 5 hours. He alerted his team at Brambles Wildlife Rescue, and they called Lorraine. She has extensive experience saving lives with the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, the charity that operates 24/7 search and rescue missions around England and trains lifeguards for her beaches. Thankfully, heroine Lorraine, who's a friend of the rescue, offered her help, said Mel Greenhalgh of Brambles. She pulled on her wetsuit and swam out to give the seagull an emergency assist. Waiting on the shore, Stuart captured photos, then carefully removed the hook and transported it to the clinic. The gull is now being cared for by staff members at Brambles, who treated her with antibiotics and gave her anti-inflammatory medication, as well as a new nickname, Patience. Even though the swim was just 50 feet, 15 meters, Mel was impressed. That's no mean feat swimming with a gull under your arm. Luckily, she only chewed on her wetsuit. A proud Mel summed it up. It was a smashing piece of teamwork yet again by all involved. Meet the Oxford Library Cat, who's perfectly content being the unofficial college mascot. By Andy Corboy. For this hefty, long-haired cat, no amount of attention seems to be enough for his new public relations role. Named Isambard Kitten Bruno after the famous British industrialist, the cat is called Izzy for short, and makes a bus commute to the Oxford University Library at Lady Margaret alongside his owner, Jamie Fishwick Ford. Jamie is a librarian at the Hall, one of the colleges at Oxford, and began bringing Izzy to work 6 years ago. The fluffy Siberian forest cat spends most of his time relaxing in Jamie's office, only leaving when people want to pet him, or when he's taken outside for some exercise. Izzy, now aged 6, has quickly become a hit with students, gaining a loyal following and earning himself unofficial mascot status at the college. Lots of people bring friends and family to meet him, and he's become a bit of an unofficial mascot. He even appears on some of our outreach team's stickers, said Jamie, who's worked as a librarian at the college for 10 years, adding that the cat isn't allowed to roam freely, but officials allow his presence in the office and on the lawns. Jamie got Izzy in September 2019 and started bringing him to work straight away either on a leash or on the librarian's shoulders. When she arrived at Lady Margaret Hall, she said that it was a very dog-orientated college. College had a policy allowing you to bring dogs to work as long as they mostly stayed in your office and you got permission from anyone else whose office they visited, said Jamie. There are 2 dogs on our coat of arms because we were founded by Bishop Talbot, and a Talbot is a type of medieval hunting dog. The principal of the college, Alan Rushbridger, had 2 dogs, and several staff members had dogs that they brought to college, but I prefer cats. The 2 arrive at Lady Margaret Hall by bus, on board which the cat enjoys the attention that he almost inevitably receives, and in fact will meow if he doesn't receive any. Izzy's particularly favored by students who miss their pets, and he's always very friendly and calm, Jamie added. It can be really tough being away from home for the first time and away from pets that you've known all your life, and it's a lot easier to call your parents if you miss them than to call your cats. He's always very friendly and calm, but he's even more so when someone's upset or crying. He's had several people come to him in tears after they've accidentally deleted their dissertations or so on. Other colleges also sometimes ask for visits from the famous library cat, so we go to visit them and give their students a chance to meet him, she said. Group works together to save humpback whale after it became stranded on Australian sandbar. By Andy Corbley. Rescuers in Australia were able to save a humpback whale after becoming stranded on a sandbar during its migration. The 10-ton marine giant was freed and guided back into the ocean off Forster, New South Wales, after becoming trapped in shallow waters in an urgent and complex rescue operation. Humpback whales typically migrate along Australia's east coast between June and November, traveling from Antarctica to the Great Barrier Reef, but one individual appeared to have set off far too early. The juvenile humpback entered the Coolangaluk River on April 13th before becoming stuck on a sandbar where it was unable to return to deeper water. It wasn't until the following day that rescuers were able to free the animal. A major rescue operation was launched involving the SeaWorld Foundation, the NSW National Parks and Wildlife Service, the Organization for the Rescue and Research of Cetaceans in Australia, ORRCA, and the Forster Dive Center. Specialist teams worked together using heavy-duty slings placed beneath the whale's pectoral fins to carefully tow the exhausted animal off the initial sandbank and into deeper water. We believe that the whale traveled into the Forster area and, due to misadventure, became stranded on the sandbank, which was in a shallow stretch of the river, said SeaWorld Foundation head of marine sciences Wayne Phillips. Despite the ordeal, the whale's in a good condition with some minor skin issues from being in the sun, and while it remains in the Wallace Lake area, we're hopeful that it'll now be able to navigate its way back out to the open ocean. Restaurant owner shelves Easter plans to fulfill dying man's last wish to feed his hospice nurses. By Andy Corbley. From New York comes the story of a restaurant owner who shelved his Easter plans to fulfill a dying man's last wish. Jokingly described as looking like a big bad biker guy by his brother, 67-year-old father of three, Frank Ojimek, had a last wish as he approached his final hours to repay some of the kindness that he received. For 6 weeks, Ojimek had been undergoing cancer treatment at Niagara Hospice. With no success and little time left, Frank asked his younger brother Ken for one final favor. He wanted to treat the nursing staff to a meal. Ken Ojimek looked around on the internet but realized that everywhere was closed for Easter. Eventually, Ken got through to someone. Tommy Milani, owner of Sub Delicious Pizza and Subs in Lockport. I said, "Absolutely, whatever you need, Ken," Milani told local news WKBW, adding of the hospice nurses, "They do an amazing job there. They're all saints." Milani put his Easter plans on hold while he whipped up, flipped up, and delivered pizzas for the entire nursing staff. Ken said that he was beyond grateful for Milani for helping his family at their time of loss. "To me, it means the world to see that kindness and that greatness spread," he told WKBW. "And I hope that when people see this story, they take it and say, 'Why can't we do this and spread joy and kindness to each other?'" Enriched by a close relationship with the great outdoors his whole life, Frank Ojimek was also a music lover who liked to attend the annual Niagara Falls Blues Festival. He is survived by his three children and five grandchildren. Chicago turns all public school IDs into library cards to boost student access. By Andy Corbley. In 2022, during a conceptual bid to improve library access, Chicago public schools thought that they'd see whether teens would be more likely to use the library if their school ID doubled as a library card. It turns out that when you remove membership requirements, attendance and use at all 81 locations of the Chicago Public Library, CPL, goes up. As a result, Chicago Public Schools have expanded the original initiative, called the 81 Club, indefinitely, until every school ID could be used as a library card, and thereby ensuring that any school ID holder in the city can access more than 6 million books and pieces of research just by providing that ID number. CPL officials in turn said that the program was aimed at improving access to educational resources for students that have the greatest barriers to educational attainment. The 2022 pilot program saw library access increased by 63% among economically disadvantaged students. With this expansion, every student, no matter their zip code, school enrollment, or their age, will have access to library cards, programs, and resources that make their lives more enriched, Mayor Brandon Johnson said at an event announcing the expansion Tuesday inside the Austin branch of the Chicago Public Library, 5615 West Race Avenue. The program expansion also comes with a new digital access system called Sora that will allow educators to retrieve research data, ebooks, audiobooks, and classroom learning materials. After 5 years, Missing Cat finally reunited with owner thanks to old Facebook post from when he was stolen. By Good News Network. A missing cat has finally been reunited with his owner 5 years after being catnapped. Daniel Arm was left heartbroken when her beloved kitten Bodie suddenly disappeared in July 2021. In a double blow, Bodie's brother Brapson also vanished, leaving the family devastated. Danielle put posters up around her neighborhood in Derby, England, and asked locals, but no one saw either of the gray tabbies. Braxton was found a few weeks later, but Bodie stayed missing, and eventually the family was forced to give up hope and eventually moved to a new home. Danielle was stunned when a vet called her last week, saying that her long-lost pet had been found 20 miles away from where he was last seen. "I burst into tears. I was so shocked," said the 37-year-old. "There's not many cats that go missing for that long and come back to you. It was just so surreal. I shouted his name when we met, and he came... stepping on over. It was like out of a movie. He rubbed his head on me and was purring. He was so loving after all these years." Danielle got two boy cats from the same litter in 2020 and believes that Bodie and Braxton had been catnapped before being dumped miles from home. "The heartache that I felt when they were both missing was unbelievable. People around her suspected that someone was responsible because six cats had mysteriously disappeared. There was never any proof, so the police never got involved. When my two lovely boys went missing, I was posting letters through doors and spreading them far and wide. Months later, Braxton was found wandering the streets 20 miles away in Uttoxeter, Staffordshire, so she immediately posted a notice about Bodie on the Facebook page for the town in case anyone saw him. The years rolled by and I thought he was a goner until this lovely lady named Vicky Mahon from Sudbury messaged me through Facebook last week and asked if I ever found my cat Bodhi. She said that she thought she had him, and that he'd been living around her cottage and under her garage. Vicky had been trying to get hold of the family since last year, but they moved twice since Bodhi and hadn't updated the contact info on his chip. Finally, she searched Bodhi's name on Facebook, and lo and behold, my poster from all those years ago came up, and she managed to message me. It was nothing short of a miracle. Danielle's since kept Bodhi indoors and vowed to keep a close eye on him going forward. Newborn calf leads mother cow to greet stranger who helped them reunite. By Good News Network. Flo is a devoted cow who's nurtured several calves in her timeline, but for this newborn, she gave birth too close to the fence dividing her pasture from the nearby highway. The slope of the ground and the small space under the wires combined to form a unique spot that allowed a slippery newborn calf to slide under the wires. The problem for Flo and her baby was that the fence was electrified to keep the cows from wandering onto the road and to keep out predators like coyotes that would devour a baby calf. Flo couldn't reach the newborn, which was lying down silently in the grass. A motorist who lived nearby came along soon after the calf was born. He often watched the cows as he drove past, but he was particularly interested in the herd at this time of year because calves were being born. Dave stopped in the sunshine to watch the cows in the pond, but noticed that Flo looked distraught. Dave put his GoPro camera on the fence and started recording while he walked toward Flo. He knew very little about cows, but he knew that she was agitated. He found the newborn and immediately knew that he needed to take action, with the cars buzzing by and presenting a real danger. The farmer's house is at the top of the hill across the meadow, and his truck was gone, so Dave tried to push the calf back under the fence. Not knowing that some of the wires were live and some weren't, he got himself a few shocks in the process. Flo was encouraging Dave with a few moos as he worked, and soon she and her baby were reunited for the all-important first milk feeding, which contains colostrum for a healthy immune system. Because the calf received a few shocks himself, he was known as Sparky from that day forward. Later that day, as Dave walked over to see how Sparky was doing, the baby peeled off from the herd to come give the man a sniff and a soulful look. It almost seemed like the newborn wanted to show its mom the stranger who delivered their emergency aid. Autistic bowler achieves dream with first perfect 300 game and joins the PBA as a pro. By Good News Network. On March 25th, an autistic bowler who recently entered the Professional Bowlers Association achieved something that he has been dreaming about for years. His first ever 300 game. For most casual bowlers, a sanctioned perfect game is rare. For Matt Sipes, it represented so much more than just 12 strikes. It was the result of years of dedication, focus, and determination, and although there have been challenges along the way, he never gave up on his goal. "It's something that I've dreamed about my entire life," the former collegiate bowler told GNN. "To finally achieve it feels almost surreal. I'm so grateful, and I hope that I can inspire other athletes on the spectrum." Since playing his first game at age 6, he's loved the sound of the pins crashing into each other, but it was the sense of calmness and belonging that he felt that changed his life. Bowling was something that clicked right away. The energetic child with ADHD growing up in Wooddale, Illinois, had so much fun that he kept asking his mom to take him back to the lanes. He bowled competitively in the junior league and later in high school. When I graduated from high school, college wasn't really on my mind. I thought I'd just get a job and keep bowling in leagues, he wrote in an essay for Bowler's Journal. But his coach suggested that Matt try out for a college team, and he got a scholarship to Judson University in Elgin, Illinois, not far from his home. That's when everything changed. He's competed in leagues and tournaments for 15 years, both locally and across the country in Las Vegas, Reno, and Baton Rouge. One of the highlights was playing in the Pro Bowlers Association LBC National Championships and Open Championships. Competing at their level makes me feel like my hard work is paying off, and it's so cool to sometimes be bowling alongside the pros. For his mother, Christine Sipes, watching him throw that final strike in his perfect game at Wooddale Bowl was overwhelming. It wasn't just about the score. It was about seeing his hard work, resilience, and love for the sport come together in one unforgettable moment, she said. Bowling's helped me become the person who I am today, said the 23-year-old. I'm excited to keep growing, support others on their journeys, and see what's possible for me as I prepare for the PBA. You've been listening to A Positive Outlook. This program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This is Ava Sardina. I'll be with you again soon. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
NASA was considering sending canaries into space to study them under zero gravity. The project was scrapped when someone realized that, in spite of having sufficient water supplies, they could die of dehydration within hours. Why?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
Unlike humans, birds need gravity to swallow. Humans can swallow even while hanging upside down.
And now back to our regular programming.
Are you or a loved one experiencing vision loss? Unable to read your daily newspapers? Feeling isolated because of blindness? If the answer is yes, Audio Journal can help. Live broadcasts of newspapers and other local publications enable blind, visually impaired, and print-disabled residents of Worcester County to connect with their communities. Newspaper readings, informative programming, education, and entertainment return you to the printed word your vision loss has denied you. For information about Audio Journal's free service, call 508-797-1117. Again, the number is 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org or go to our website at www.audiojournal.org. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.